Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this fifth episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm pretty good.
We had to stop laughing long enough to do this intro. If only you out there could hear what we talk about before we record.
You said you weren't recording, so I'm holding you to that.
Oh, everyone might want to listen to the bloopers at the end.
Oh, crap. It's just going to be us saying, that's what she said, 80 times.
So Guild Wars, Guildcast, all that stuff. This one, like we said last week, we're going to be a little bit late on this one because I went to E3 last week and NCSoft was not there at all, so we don't really have anything to talk about Guild Wars related for E3, but that kind of explains the tardiness here a little bit.
Yeah, you just got back in town, what, Friday?
No, I got back in town Sunday. Oh, wait.
Holy crap.
What was it? No.
Today's Monday.
Friday. what month is this? Yeah, it was Friday, actually. It was a red eye all night.
Yeah, and then you slept for like a whole 5 hours, didn't you?
Yeah, and then kind of switched back and forth. 5 hours here, 2 hours there for the rest of the week. It was pretty awesome.
So.
But I'm set now. I'm ready to record.
Awesome.
We'll see about that, huh?
Okay, so you should start recording now, right?
Oh, I gotta record now? Oh.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay, so Guild Wars 2, we got some kind of cool stuff. But we got kind of a cool Q&A with the lead designer and Ben, whose job title I've completely forgotten.
The lead designer and Ben.
And Ben Miller, who does something.
He's also a designer, actually. Eric Flanham is lead designer, and Ben Miller's another designer.
Like his lackey?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's something. They had this Q&A that came out kind of on their regular schedule of releasing information on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And they had some pretty cool stuff. And I think some of the things that they addressed, actually, they say that they got these answers from the questions that they found around the internet, you know, kind of frequently asked questions that they found while scouring for questions. And a few of these seem like they're kind of answering questions that we had last week from either reader email or just questions that came up with us ourselves talking about things. It's pretty exciting to be able to talk about now some of the answers to some of those things. Mm-hmm. So let's just run through this a little bit.
Okay.
We'll start off with combat. Combat is, they have a few questions on combat, but the main things that I take away from this are what we saw in that video, or the few videos we've seen, especially the Warrior and Elementalist ones, mm-hmm. there was some concern that a lot of these, the characters in the videos were killing things with one hit. And people were saying, well, that's not going to be any fun. I hope it's not really like that. Well, of course, they say that's basically a high-level character killing low-level stuff. So it's done for effect, it's done for the videos, and it's not the way that the actual gameplay will be.
Right. I think it's the equivalent of taking your Canthan level 20 warrior into a Great Northern Wall and hitting him with an elite.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that was done for the video, done for the effects, mm-hmm. but it's not something you can expect to, you know, run through the entire game doing things like that.
Yeah, you're still going to have to work for it.
Yeah. And another part is body blocking. You know, you have the video with the shield. The character has the shield and is blocking the fire from the dragon, from the drake. And it's like, well, that looks pretty cool. It looks like we can block skills like that. Well, they're elaborating on that a little bit by saying that there will still be the kind of knockdowns and the skills like that, like we can enjoy right now in Guild Wars 1. But there aren't like character or player block mechanics as far as collision mechanics, that's what they call that.
Yeah.
When two characters can hit each other or bump into each other. Age of Conan is like that, where you can literally knock people off of cliffs by bumping into them, which is fun for, you know, you go on YouTube and search for something like that, and you'll see some pretty fun videos of people knocking people off of cliffs. But but that's something that won't be in Guild Wars 2, where the skills themselves would be the blocking parts and things like interrupts, which we'll talk about in a second. They actually still have those in there, mm-hmm. but there isn't actual body blocking.
Well, that could kind of get infuriating after a while in a persistent world, so I can understand that. I'd be the one getting knocked off the cliff all the time, and I would hate that. So
Well, it's not. It's the body blocking is an unusual mechanic in an MMO. You know, most MMOs don't have that, where you can run through people and not have to worry about bumping into them. I mean, once you start introducing body blocking, then you start introducing problems with doorways. You know, people griefing and standing in doorways to keep. I think DDO has body blocking, doesn't it? Because I know that there are a lot of times when you can kind of stand in front of the doorway, you can have two or three people standing there and blocking the enemy in. And here I go talking about other games again. I mean,
that's okay, because, and it's so funny that you mentioned DDO in particular, because something that they said was body direction is very important, because it was in the same question. But it makes me think of the rogue. My rogue has, like, you know, a little sneaky backstabbing skill. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and that's something that Guild Wars 1 doesn't really have, because you attack and you automatically turn towards the person. So I guess what they're saying now is that, you know, body direction does play a lot more of an important role, to where maybe they will have stuff like backstabbing, which would be really cool.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, the last little part here in the combat that I took some notes here, but the last thing is there's no taunting mechanic, and this is very important because, you know, in other games you'll have something where you can actually gain aggro, you can draw aggro, and you can keep it on yourself, and you keep casting certain spells or skills that will keep the aggro on yourself. Well, they don't really have that as far as you know, a direct taunting mechanic, but they say that there are still tanks. You know, you still have stances, and you still have things like that, which will make the kind of lead warrior be able to take all the damage, and he has higher hit points, he has higher armor, and things like that. Plus the skills that will keep him as kind of a damage sponge, but they directly say that there will be no taunting.
Right. So you've got your tank, but you can't pull aggro by dancing around and mooning, or however it is you choose to try to pull aggro.
That's my preferred method, usually.
Yeah, I know.
In real life, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the chains. We talked about the skill chains last episode, and one thing we did talk about was the kind of sever artery gash chain that they talked about, and they acknowledged the fact that there won't be a bleed, or a deep wound won't exist in Guild Wars 2. So there won't be anything like a deep wound that can be expanded upon with other skills, but bleeding will actually stack, and I think that's interesting because, you know, I mean, I imagine they're going to do this with every class, all kinds of different things, where they're going to have stackable effects like this. But if you just take one of those little aspects, where you take bleeding, and you think about what you can do with bleeding stacking, it's pretty incredible. I mean, you could think about a lot of different warrior tactics.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I assume that it'll make them degen faster.
Yeah,
but it makes sense. If you're bleeding from five different places, it's going to hurt more.
Yep. That's the way it works. What else? Oh, skill chains can get interrupted. Like I said before, you know, we'll talk about this interruption thing. So if they can get interrupted, this means good things, because what classes use interrupts? Rangers and mesmers, right? Assassins, I guess, too. But so there's another point for us mesmer lovers, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, and assassins have some pretty infuriating interrupts, too.
Yeah, that's how I mean. Yeah, it's.
But yeah, there's the mesmer love.
Yep, I hope so.
I don't know. I'm, as a primary caster class, just the word interrupt makes me go ugh. I'm already irritated.
Well, I've said that before. I hope that not only I hope that they keep the mesmer, but I hope they keep fast casting, because it's such an awesome mechanic.
Yeah, it is, and it's so unusual. It's something different than what you see in so many MMOs.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll actually talk a little bit more about that in a second, about the classes and keeping them, because I wanted to expand on that from last discussion we had, because we had a ton of email and a ton of comments from people talking about what classes they think are going to stay and which ones are going to go. So we'll talk about that after we're done with this the little newsy parts here. But so we'll go into this next part, and which is traits. They talk a lot about traits, actually. And one of the points that they make in this Q&A is that traits are acquired through challenges that are specific to professions, so that there aren't any that really require other traits in order to get them. Like, you don't need to get one trait and then you get, like, there aren't, like, trait chains, I guess you could say. And they say that a lot of them are done through challenges. And remember, when they say challenges, it's because they're trying to stay away from the word quests. You know, they made sure to let us know that the word quests has kind of a negative connotation to it. I think it was Mike O'Brien who said that in a blog post one time. And he wants to get away from that. So challenges, I don't know, is that, does that still mean quests? I mean, do we put quests in parentheses after it?
I'm not sure, because it sounds like, according to your profession, it sounds like they can go in so many different ways. I mean, I think they said like a warrior can go, he can defeat another really skilled swordsman, and that swordsman will teach him. Or an elementalist can go and learn from an arcane book of fancy knowledge.
It just
doesn't feel very much like a quest to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's
a traditional sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, I'm not downplaying that at all, because I think that taking away from that, you know, connotation, the reputation of the word quest is a good idea, because we think, when we hear quest, what's the first thing you think of? You think of a exclamation mark over someone's head and running.
Kill 10 rats.
Yeah, kill 10 rats, stuff like that. So I think it is a good idea that they're getting away from that.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that.
All right, so this next little point, attributes aren't being replaced by traits. This is something we talked about last time, too. There was a lot of concern that traits are directly replacing attributes, but they've expanded on this. Not only are traits not directly replacing the attributes, but also they say that the new attribute system will be a little bit different. They say it's a little bit more traditional, like you would find in traditional RPGs. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I don't know if that means that we're going to have like strength, dexterity, wisdom, intelligence, stuff like that, you know, where it's kind of that Dungeons & Dragons model, or something else. So this next little part, they talk about that these traits can't be enhanced, and that's also something we touched on last time, but I wanted to make sure we kind of reiterated that, because it seems to be a question that a lot of people are asking. You know, what else can we do with traits besides slotting them? And they say that there are several dozen traits, they say, can be equipped at one time, which depends on your profession and which items you have available and things like that. Like, one of the examples they give is actually, you know, you can have your axe traits equipped, but if you don't have an axe, you can't use them. So it all depends on things like that, and it makes sense. But these can't be enhanced on their own. You can't actually, you know, get a trait, like a swordsman trait plus one or whatever.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
Then make it better. It's just, you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, all of this, as I'm reading this makes me think of elite skill capping in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got that feel to it.
Well, actually, what's important and kind of in relation to the elite part of that is they talk about there will be major and minor traits. So like major traits, I guess, could be considered something like an elite skill, you know, where you might not be able to enhance the traits yourself, but they already come enhanced and they're called major traits.
Yeah,
so,
they're just a little better.
Yeah, I think that's important. That's definitely an important note to, you know, to take note of here, because they even say like major traits, they're more powerful in the scope of the game. I'm sure that they know what they're talking about when they say in the scope of the game, as in, you know, the way the whole game plays out, the way the storyline progresses. I'm not sure, but it's pretty interesting to see how they said that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking forward to seeing what kind of combinations you can come up with, how versatile these are when you've got the major and the minor both in there.
Mm-hmm. And they also talk about the balance, you know, between offensive and defensive, because that's also a concern. You want to make sure that balance is there, and they say there will be a balance between major, between offensive and defensive.
Yeah.
So if you want to play a more defensive character, you'll have enough to pull from, which is definitely good.
They've really thought this through, and they kind of need to with their. This is a really ambitious, complicated system they're coming up with. So
yeah,
I imagine there is a ton of balancing and trying to get everything just right there.
Yeah, and you know, another thing we talked about last week was the build saving. We were wondering about if we, you know, like right now we can save a build and it'll have a certain code and you can share that code with your friends and it'll be your build, and you can actually save it to your hard drive so that you can switch between accounts and use that same build, things like that. But they say specifically in one of these questions that they're trying to get away from that because they don't like the way, I guess, what it's become, where it's all about the builds and it's all about, you know, having this specific build that can't, you know, you can't stray from this build. This is the way it has to be if you want to do this. So they're trying to get away from that. But they do say that there's still a mechanic in there, a certain system for weapons. Like a weapon, what do they call that? Like a weapon system?
Weapon swapping system. Trait and weapon swapping system.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Trait and weapon swapping system. So that's kind of how they're changing from that build saving system. And the exact quote is, "We don't want to encourage people to feel that the way they need to play is to constantly switch their builds." So I think that says a lot about maybe how they perceive what, you know, Guild Wars 1 has become since they introduced that. Because, I mean, that hasn't always been around, the ability to save your builds like that.
Yeah, it's relatively new. I'm not sure which direction to go with this because I am so on the fence about what they've said here. This is one of the things that's made me, the most nervous about this coming up because it sounds like, I've said this before, it sounds like a really complicated system. Mm-hmm. Because you've got your regular skills over here, then traits, then attributes. And I feel like you need some sort of, I don't want to be left sitting there with two dozen little boxes to fill in and spending half my gameplay time going, all right, hang on, because I gotta put all these attributes back.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't save them. So I hope the trait and weapon swapping systems, I hope, are something that's relatively quick. I mean, I understand what they're saying about not wanting to be switching your builds every 10 seconds. But two, I don't want to waste half my playtime trying to set something up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I hope that they do take that into consideration. And, you know, because there are a lot of times, especially when you can play your characters so many different ways, you know, especially with Elementalist, or, you know, where you have the different elements you might want to play, or a different type of sword warrior or whatever, mm-hmm. Or a different type of warrior, sword, axe, hammer. You want to be able to switch everything at once, you know, when you have your axe, yes. And then you get all those traits. And I'm sure, I mean, the way they're talking about this, I am sure that they have that built correctly, you know, that it's going to work.
I do too, and I have said for a very long time, you know, the guys that are in and at their gamers too, they don't want to do this garbage any more than I do. I just really want to hear more about this.
Yeah.
And find out exactly how it's going to work because I'm a little uncertain about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing they touch on is the rating. And that's of course a big concern because there are a lot of young people who play this game, Guild Wars 1, and are looking forward to Guild Wars 2. And they say that they're trying for a teen rating. And one of the concerns actually was blood. They want to make sure that there's not blood squirting everywhere because in some of the trailers it kind of looked like that. They say that, I thought this was funny, there's not going to be blood per se, but it's going to have a red effect that kind of goes off of a red colored hit effect is what mm-hmm. they call it. That goes off of the characters when you hit them. And I guess that's a way of getting around it. But I mean, I'm all about kind of a lower rating. I know that mm-hmm. when some other games have tried for the mature rating, it hasn't worked as well, or maybe it's attracted people for the wrong reasons. Blood, I don't think it really falls into that category, but, you know, there are, like, nudity and things like that. People play the game just for that, and it kind of molds the community, I guess you could say. But to have a lower rating, I think, does speak a lot for it. And to show that they're aware of that and they're considering that, they're taking that all of that into consideration, and even with the red hit effect, I mean, who cares? I mean, that's
yeah, and you know, it's not that bad. I'm one of the most squeamish people out there, but I don't need to be squelching through blood on the battlefield, and I don't need it spattering onto my camera. I'm just a bit. Well, come on, it's a thing, and I'm too big of a wimp for that, but. You know, we've seen the red-colored hit effect, and it really was not that bad at all.
Yeah.
So they had that at least two or three times in the Warrior video.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Never play Red Dead Redemption. Let me just tell you that, because if you don't like blood splattering on your camera,
Man, my kids can handle that stuff better than me. I am such a baby about that. I'll content myself with just watching the Red Dead Redemption glitch videos on YouTube. Those make me happy.
The donkey woman. And,
the donkey
yeah.
lady. Yeah. Go, donkey lady, go. Okay, so note to self, no Red Dead Redemption.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But I don't think that Guild Wars 2 is going to have blood splattering on the camera.
No, that hit effect isn't... it's a nice little compromise.
Yeah. Another thing they talk about in this interview is there was some concern over the... I guess it's a, is it a spell on my mark? Or is it an... It's kind of a mechanic?
It's a skill. It's a
skill?
Like shift clicking on yeah. the menu now.
Yeah, exactly. Or control clicking to get... Or control number... Or action. Control action. To get...
I had to put my hands on the keyboard to remember exactly what to do.
Yeah. Which is basically calling out targets.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say. So the mechanic that's in place right now to call out targets, they're changing it to be called on my mark. And they say that it's not really changed as in a bad way, like they're not taking anything away, but they're actually adding things to it. They don't say what those things are, but they say that there are going to be additional benefits to target calling, which I, you know, there are other games that have target calling in kind of a not, I don't think they're as developed as the way that Guild Wars does it. I think Guild Wars, with the little target next to the name and the way that you can just, you know, you press a couple keys and you can attack that same target. I mean, there are other ones that do that, but I don't think they do it as well as Guild Wars. So to know that they're actually adding to it, that's pretty intriguing.
That's kind of cool. And there are actually two things that come to mind with this. Making it a skill that you can actually slot makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Because then you won't have your entire party spamming target calling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It fills your entire chat window. I think this encourages people to make one caller and say, all right, you're the one calling, slot the skill. The rest of us will just follow that.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I really like that because that gets irritating because some people get really, really, really enthusiastic about calling their targets and it makes me crazy.
And also, you know, if you have one guy calling targets, I mean, even if you say it now in Guild Wars 1, if you're like, okay, I'm going to call targets, and then you get three other people who want to call targets as well because they don't think you're doing good enough, so then you have all these different targets being called. Well, if you have a skill that's actually slottable by one person and you say, okay, you're the target caller, all the rest of you don't worry about it, then you don't have to worry about them calling targets also. You just have to make sure he's a good target caller.
Yeah, don't give the skill to an idiot.
It should have that, like, in small type at the bottom.
You have to do a small IQ quiz before you can slot it.
There you go.
That'd be awesome. But, you know, I like the additional benefits are what interest me. I don't know if you played or if you saw, I think it was Serafina massively that played Terra at
E3. Yeah, I played it.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah.
They said, one of the things they said were keep an eye on the enemies. Oh, that's right. That was you because you were like the last man standing in your group.
Woohoo.
But the enemies, when they target you, one of them will point at you.
Yeah.
And that just, I didn't see it. I mean, you know, I just got the audio, but it sounded like such a cool system.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that, not that exactly, but something like that in Guild Wars 3, some sort of animation that indicates.
Guild Wars 3?
2.
Ah. Wow. We're already talking about Guild Wars 3, folks.
Is there something that has a 3? What on earth am I thinking of?
You're just...
I am
for
that
the
stinking enthusiastic. Guild Wars 3, that was great. Something in Guild Wars 2 that did that would be cool, was my point.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I don't know if they haven't talked about anything like that, but that would be pretty awesome.
Guild Wars 3, someone will actually come to your house and point at you. And then a warrior will jump in your window.
That would be, that'd be awesome.
That'd be the best game ever. Okay, so, that made me think of Terra, and it was awesome.
So this is basically that's basically all there was to that interview, though. But I think that the points that we were able to take from that, I think, were really important because, like I said, a lot of them did answer the questions that we had last week, and a lot of the larger questions that people have had everywhere, you know, GuildWarsGuru2.com mm-hmm. and, you know, GW Online, things like that, were kind of the major forums where people are asking all these questions. So yeah. it's good to know that they're reading these questions and that they're kind of taking tally of them and answering them. It's important.
Yeah, it is. And it shows that they're listening to the community, which is something I think that ArenaNet has always been very good about. They don't always, like with the mass bannings, they don't always tell us that they're listening, but they are paying attention and they are doing something about it.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? I have to, speaking of Guild Wars 2, Guild Wars 2 Guru. Yeah, that's what it is. I have to say, I've just, you know, just watching over time, they have got one of the best systems for keeping track with of all of the new news. Mm-hmm. They've got a forum for news and announcements and a very specific guideline for posting. And it is probably one of the best resources for looking and seeing what's new and what's out there. I've just been so impressed. And they are on the ball. They're yeah. quick.
Yeah, they have. I think when Guild Wars first came out, I think it was just Indie, the INDE, the guy who kind of started mm-hmm. it all. And he is still, I mean, he's still going strong on this stuff. It's pretty amazing. And I think he had a few other people, you know, throughout Guild Wars that were doing a lot of that, kind of the posting and everything. But now they have a lot more people, it seems like, and kind of a dedicated staff. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, now I am completely speculating here, but I think that it's pretty much all volunteer, which is speaks volumes, you know. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does, that they're that passionate and they're that fast. Mm-hmm. That's what kills me because, and I actually laughed a while back, Martin Kirstein posted something in their news, interviews, and articles section that I had written for Massively. And he just, I mean, you know, they had gotten the link as soon as it went live, so they knew. And some of the fans came in and said, how did he find something before we did? Because it was so unusual.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do. That's their job.
Yeah. Hello. But it's just, it's very impressive. And I wanted to mention that, just that they are doing such a good job and they're so organized. Mm-hmm. And they're so on the ball.
Yep.
So,
kudos to them.
Yeah, good job, guys. Okay, so anyway.
So, yeah, we also have a little bit of news on the war in Krita. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, they've got, it was last Thursday when the update came down. And just something that I've noticed, you know, a lot of, like, these war in Krita bounties, the Wanted by the Shining Blade, have kind of built on the Zaishin quests in Great Temple of Balthazar, so it's something we're kind of familiar with. And the good thing about that is we know what it is, we know how it works, we can jump right in and move on. The downfall of that is gamers have very short attention spans. It's just, you know, we want something new, and we want something now, and it'll entertain us for a little while. And that's not a bad thing. It's that we're enthusiastic and that we really like this and we want to see more. Mm-hmm. But we're now on, you know, the daily bounties have kind of fallen into a pattern and we know what's coming and we can plan for that. And we've gotten our third, we've got quests in addition to that Princess Salma gives you in Lion's Arch Keep. Mm-hmm. Well, the third one came down and people were starting to say, okay, is this it? We're just going to get, you know, the daily bounty, the weekly quest. What else? Is that the end of War in Krita? Are we just going to do this forever and ever? Amen. But something that was very interesting is that this one came down just about the time people started asking this. And this latest quest, Temple of the Intolerable is what it was called. And you go back to the Temple of Tolerance. What's interesting is that they gave some little hints as to what's coming. Princess Salma said, now three Mersaat have been eliminated, indicating the three quests, we've had to kill a Mersaat boss each time. And four remain if our intelligence is accurate. So she's kind of telling us there are four more, and once we've taken out all seven, something else is going to happen.
Hmm.
And two, once you go into this quest, the first NPC you talk to says that the White Mantle are sending men every day to Demetra in the north, which is where Saul D'Alessio had his headquarters way back in the day. And he said, so we're heading there as well. Something is happening there. I'm not sure what, but I'll be in touch. So there's something more going on there. But I think it was very good timing on their part that right about the time we're starting to say, is this, you know, this is feeling a little boring. Are you going to have anything else for us? And they're saying, yes, a little more is coming, but they're keeping it in character, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a few more things to watch for. Things are getting exciting.
What do you think about this whole White Mantle Shining Blade thing? Do you think that these are going to be the two main factions in Guild Wars 2?
You know, I asked something similar a while back, and they just said, you know, they're going to be a factor in Guild Wars 2, but we can't really say what, which I kind of love and hate when they do that. Because on one hand, that's awesome that more is coming, but on the other hand, I would really like to have it now, please.
Yeah.
My guess is, well, since Queen Jen is on the throne, my guess is that the Mantle are the ones hiding in the jungle sneaking around now. That's been my speculation, and whether they will rise to power again is maybe something for Guild Wars 3. You know, since I went down that road.
Guild Wars 3, where the White Mantle come to your house.
But they knock on the door and target you first, so you have time to run out the back.
Oh, okay.
No, but that's, and they haven't said anything to indicate that, but that is my guess, knowing that they're still going to be a factor, is that they've been beaten, but they're still around.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, I do want to mention one more thing. Have you been following the war and credit information on the official Guild Wars site at all?
I have
Murrow, the historian?
I have not.
Well, Murrow has been, and I'm like scrolling down right now, Murrow is a humble historian and scribe, he says, and he's like reporting from the front lines of the war in Crida. And he has been, it started April 8th was his very first entry. And it's been like, you know, April 9th, April 12th, April 13th. It's been very, very regular. We've not seen anything from Murrow since June 2nd. And today is the 21st. So I'm interested. And honestly, I just can't see ArenaNet just kind of absentmindedly forgetting that this was going on their website and just saying, hey, has anybody done Murrow in the past few days? No, I forgot. So, but I'm really kind of wondering, did something happen to this guy?
Huh.
I don't know. I hope it's for a reason and they didn't all just kind of forget.
Yeah, I don't think that really happens with them. I don't know. It seems like everything that, you know, down to the littlest detail, it seems like they have an explanation for it. So.
Yeah, it's been so, the attention to detail is what's really been the hallmark of this entire war and credit thing. Right back when we first went to the Shining Blade camp and a courier came and was talking to Princess Salma and said, hey, there was an attack on such and such village and they killed the artisan's wife. Well, then you went, it was Nebo Terrace was the village. Then you went over there and you talked to that artisan that they mentioned. And sure enough, he said that his wife was dead. And what he was a materials crafter. And he won't craft for you anymore. He said, I'm not an artisan anymore. I'm just a widower and a father. So with that kind of attention to detail, I do not see them just kind of forgetting that Murrow exists.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm kind of watching that with interest because it's been 3 weeks now. So I'm anxious to see what happened to him. Hopefully I have something to tell about him next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
So, but anyway, they're telling us there's more. I guess the war in Crida is going to escalate within the next week or so.
Cool. You know, that's so awesome. It really keeps us, you know, interested in the, you know, the backstory and getting us all excited. I mean, in addition to the novels that they're coming out with, it's like this is kind of...
Oh, I can't wait for the novel.
Yeah, this is kind of in addition to that. So it's, man, it's so cool. Excited.
I love it. So, but that's the latest on the war in Crida. And now we have like a bazillion emails, right?
Yes, we do. we have a nice handful. We also had a lot of comments on Guild Wars or guildcast.wordpress.com where, you know, we got people to talk about what classes they thought were going and which ones are staying and kind of their philosophies and theories on each one. And some of them are really, really interesting. Of course, we won't be able to read them all because we don't have a few days to talk about it. But that's something that we can talk about kind of throughout, you know, other episodes and everything. But I wanted to touch on a lot of it here today, though. But I also want to read these emails. And I, again, if I miss any, you know, my apologies. But I just want to touch on a lot of these even quickly. But this first one is from Mortifact Necrosis, which is, if that's your birth name, that is an awesome name. Your parents are awesome.
Actually, that's a reader that I have interacted with.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, a massively reader. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And they say, anyways, oh, sorry, I missed the first part here.
I think that's a funny way to start.
Hello, it's your favorite neighborhood necromancer, Mortifact Necrosis. Anyways, just my thoughts on new class additions and maybe some evidence of some of the new classes that ArenaNet may be adding. I don't really want to comment on what classes are leaving because I don't know any more than anyone else, but I did find some information you and Ruby might find interesting. Apparently, before Eye of the North was announced, along with Guild Wars 2, ArenaNet was developing a fourth campaign called Guild Wars Utopia. This new campaign was to have an Aztec theme, and they were going to introduce new classes, the Chronomancer and the Summoner. I have included a wiki article of this unreleased expansion, which included a lot of really cool concept art, if nothing else, including some for the very cool town called the Hub of Time. I'll also include a link to another page with more concept art of the Chronomancer, which is about two-thirds of the way down the page, which bears a striking resemblance to what the Asura was dressed in that first video that we saw with the group of heroes who broke up. Just thought this might be interesting and maybe worth mentioning on the show since everyone is all excited for the new classes. Keep up the good work. We all appreciate it. This is the two links. One of them is for we'll put these in the show notes, of course. But one of them is for the actual Guild Wars wiki page for Utopia. And the other one is for a conceptart.org forum post with a lot of the concept art that was actually in the Guild Wars art book and the Guild Wars 2 art book. Now, of course, we knew about Utopia. We talked about it on the original Guildcast back in 2007, like early 2007, because we were all getting excited for it, and every little, you know, drop of news.
Scrap of information.
Yeah, we were talking about it on Guildcast. So when that information came out, you know, we were talking about Utopia all the time, and it was something that we were really on top of. And then, of course, in, was it May of 2007, is when they said that, forget Utopia, although I don't, did they actually officially call it Utopia? I don't think they ever did. I think they got the URL and they started kind of tagging things as Utopia, but I don't think they actually came out and said it.
No, I think it was a working title, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. We knew a lot. I hate to say that and sound like we're all pretentious, but we did actually know this information before. But I didn't know the thing about like the Hub of Time. That's interesting. The Chronomancer and Summoner I remember hearing about, and I wonder if they're going to absorb some of that into Guild Wars 2 at all.
You know, it would make sense if they've already... I don't know how far they got on Utopia. I don't know how much work they had, but it would make sense to use some of those assets if they've got them lying around.
Yeah.
I say that like there's a pile of them on the floor by someone's desk.
There might be. You never know.
Just some pixels.
Okay.
But really, if they've already put the work in, it makes sense to fall back on that a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, they pretty much scrapped all that, and a lot of the remnants they actually used for Eye of the North.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have used it all for that, and they may have been like, okay, we've used what we were going to do on Eye of the North. Now we're completely starting over for Guild Wars 2.
Possibly, but I sure do like the idea of a Chronomancer.
Yeah, yeah, and that'd a Summoner.
Great. Yeah.
But okay, so this next email, this is from this is from Takeo, I think is how you pronounce it. He wrote in last week, and he says, thank you for answering my questions last week. Small correction, the nickname is read like Takeo. He still puts T-A-K-E-O. It's Japanese. If I pronounce that again incorrectly, I apologize. he says, last episode you mentioned that there isn't any info on Guild Wars 2 controls, but then he kind of corrects us here, and he says, He takes this little part from the Guild Wars 2 wiki, and it says, the control and movement system is going to be significantly changed in Guild Wars 2. In particular, mouse movement in the form of click to move will be removed from the game. However, target locking will still function. Control of combat will be more active, including blocking skills that are held down, ground targeting for spells and attacks, and hit detection that allows one player to block area-based damage from reaching other players. Guild Wars 2 will be a true 3D environment, which will allow characters to jump over obstacles as well as swim and dive underwater, blah, blah, blah. This is interesting. Oh, also, he kind of hits on this part about the Z-axis, and he says, flight will not be a featured character capability in Guild Wars 2. They make sure to say that. to kind of, because a lot of people are like, well, we can jump, can we fly? But looks like it will not.
I have the feeling flying is not going to be trendy anymore by the time this game comes out.
Flying is always trendy.
Eh.
Are you kidding?
Sorry. I just, you know, it was like, I was so excited last year when Ion did it. We can fly. Well, now everybody, you know, every free-to-play is like, you can fly. and
yeah,
I feel like it's approaching overdone. So
yeah, I guess that's true. I can see that.
If we can't fly in Guild Wars 2, I'm just like, whatever. Okay.
I'm just happy to jump. That's all.
I know. That is, I love too how they specify that we can jump.
So Takeo, whatever he says, I think it's Takeo. He says he actually has a bunch of questions, and we're going to kind of go through these quickly what we know. First one, is the monk profession really going to be absent from Guild Wars 2? Yes. They have said that specifically. Number two, trading. How will it work? Will we have to sit in outpost waiting for the same thing over and over on Trade Chat, or will there be another system, like an auction system where you can post your stuff for sale and log out at will? They've said, now they haven't detailed any specifics on this yet, on the auction system, but they have said when they first announced that they were going to make Guild Wars 2, that one of the main reasons that they wanted to start from scratch was to develop some type of auction house system.
Mm-hmm.
Because as any Guild Wars player knows, number one, Trade Chat is a pain in the butt. Number two, that every person who ever asks about Guild Wars, what features will be in Guild Wars 2, always asks, will there be an auction house? I mean, it's such a popular thing that they want, that the players want in there. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but they just have to put something like that in there.
Well, actually, I knew I had seen this, and I was like frantically looking it up while you were talking. Here's what they say. The marketplace can be used to sell and buy items without the need to find a buyer or seller first. While items can only be put up for sale when in-game, it's possible to browse, bid, or cancel auctions and offers when out of game and logged into a web browser.
Cool.
A sale can be completed while the seller is offline with the money going to an account bank.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the marketplace is capable of displaying the history and trends of item values, which I think is so cool.
So it's like every other MMO then, I guess.
Yay! In this case, I will say good.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. It's going
to
be great.
But I do like I like that feature of being able to do all this while out of game.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need an iPhone app and we are good to go.
And a Facebook game.
And a Facebook game. No. Stop doing that.
Okay, so the third one, he says, how will skill unlocks work? Will we still have to unlock the skills, or will the characters learn them as they level up? I think that they are doing this differently, aren't they? Is that's like the whole skill and trait thing?
Yeah, the traits are something. Well, traits you can't even get right away.
Yeah.
So you start getting skills. And I'm like looking right now trying, because I can't remember. But I don't think it's just, hey, go to the skill guy in the next town and buy skills.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are going to be some more different ways to do that.
But they haven't really detailed that yet, right?
Not huge details, no.
Yeah. He says, will there be one-on-one PvP tournaments? I mean, real one-on-one, not like hero battles or anything. Guild Wars never had that, and I think it would be a nice addition. And that's basically... he says one-on-one PvP tournaments, but I wonder, I mean, they've already talked about dueling, right?
Like yeah, kind of a little bit.
Like a more private PvP?
Yeah, I'm actually looking here. There will be two primary modes of play, tournament and pickup play, which tournament is like the guild battles that we have now. You get your team, you set it up, and you move on with your life. Mm-hmm. Pickup play, here's the answer to your question. Pickup play allows individuals or groups to join a game based on map, available space, and other settings. There's nothing specifically about one-on-one. I think there will be like an ongoing battle, and you can choose to jump in and join one side or the other.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it's not, hey, you, come here, let's fight.
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of the PvP stuff they haven't detailed yet, because they've talked about like world PvP and the different ways that this will happen, you know, basically the basics of this stuff, but they haven't given specifics yet.
Yeah, this is all there is on structured PvP.
Yeah. His next question, he says, guild management, and he says in parentheses, I'm going to act a bit like Sean here. Hey. He says, on Age of Conan, you could give members special rights individually. For example, you could allow a member officer to recruit, kick, demote, etc. This would allow you to promote someone to officer but limit his rights. Will Guild Wars 2 have something like this? That's something we asked last time, too. I think somebody wrote in with that. And actually, you know, there are a lot of games that do that outside of Age of Conan where you can have some really specific privileges. That's where I'm thinking of privileges mm-hmm. for different members of your guild. They haven't really said anything about that, though, have they?
No. The most they've said, we've got kind of just very, very basic foundation of information on guilds. Now, something they are adding for guilds that I absolutely love is that your guild is not account-based. It won't be account-based. It's character-based.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, me too. I'm very happy.
But no, we don't actually have that information yet.
Yeah. So he gives a few little guesses for the new professions. And he says, maybe you should make a crazy contest out of this. That would be cool, actually. We should do that. Like, have somebody guess what the next one will be.
Ooh, what do we give them?
Our love and adoration.
Oh, well, they already have mine. I don't think they care about yours.
Sean's love and adoration.
Okay.
Oh.
That's actually a pretty good contest idea.
That would be cool. Although, there might be people out there who know something ahead of time. I don't know.
Those people are disqualified.
Yeah. NCSoft's pretty good about keeping quiet on that stuff, so who knows. So he says, since apparently the monk will be no more, I'd bet on a new healing buffer class, kind of like a mix of a monk and paragon, but more refined. On the chance of assassin and dervish being excluded, I think a mix between assassin and dervish would be excellent, something like the Assassin's Creed main character. Oh, that'd be cool. Still on the assassin, what would you say mixing assassin and ranger, creating sort of a rogue class? That's it. Greetings from the Loyal Souls Guild. Tachio out.
Yay.
We talked about a rogue class last week, and mm-hmm. we're definitely on board for that. That would be really, really cool.
Well, I would absolutely love to see that. My guess is that we're going to get a reveal of another familiar class and then something new.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea why I think that, but...
No, I'd have to agree, because I think that's kind of the way that things have gone. Actually, he wrote back, and he sent us, in a second email, I just noticed here, but he sent us this concept art that I can't believe we didn't talk about last week when we were speculating on the classes and the ones that are being taken away and added. We didn't talk about this concept art where they show the kind of concepts of what we know so far. I mean, when they revealed the Elementalist, mm-hmm. they revealed all of these concept arts for these classes, and then once they revealed the Elementalist, they put the word Elementalist next to it. So it's like, well, duh, you know, we know that's the Elementalist. Okay. Same with Warrior. Now they have Warrior next to the name. But if you look at the rest of these, I mean, there's an obvious Assassin there. There's an obvious kind of a Ranger class with a bow. There's an obvious Mesmer, and there's an obvious, I guess it could be considered a Paladin, because it looks kind of like a mace-wielding, shield-wielding, a little bit lighter armor than the Warrior. So what I'm thinking is that class would definitely be kind of a mix between a Paragon and a Warrior. And maybe Paladin would be the name of it. Something where it can buff. Like in World of Warcraft, the Paladin is more of like a healer warrior mm-hmm. type of thing. Kind of like a, you know, warrior monk, which is so popular in Guild Wars 1. So I don't know.
I don't know. I can see that. Honestly, I hope if they come out with something like that, I would really like to not see them call it a Paladin. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give us something new, then I think more of arena net than that, than just to say, look, here's a Paladin. You know what it does. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something really new and innovative.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. Although we do have, you know, Elementalist and Warrior already, but mm-hmm. which are pretty basic staples of RPGs.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as a brand new class, because we're supposed to see two new things, and I want to see something really, really new.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be exciting. Now, this also, let's see, there are six of these concept pieces, so that's not eight. I think it's important to note mm-hmm. that. You know, will that
six is not eight.
Yes, because as I learned in kindergarten, six is not eight. But it's important to note that maybe they're keeping out the new ones out of this concept art. Maybe the Paladin is actually something else. I don't know what it would be, though. It doesn't even look like it would be a Paragon, but who knows? I mean, it has a shield, a giant shield, but mm-hmm. well, who knows? It doesn't have a spear, though. At least, no, it's definitely a mace.
Hiding spear.
Yeah. The Mesmer, though, looks really cool. The kind of ranger class, it looks almost like an elven kind of thing.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Almost too cliche, though.
Yeah. And the Assassin, of course, is pretty awesome looking.
Although, oh, I loved that one.
Yeah, with this dual wielding swords and like his cape and everything. So yeah, thanks for sending that artwork and kind of reminding us about that. And he actually breaks it down himself and he says the top one's like an assassin or similar. And you have the mesmer, ranger, warrior, elementalist, and exactly like I said, it seems to be in a paladin class. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Please, Arena, call it something different.
Okay, now this next email I have to read because for some reason, I'm not sure why, people think that I don't like rangers.
It wasn't you that didn't like the rangers, though. We talked about someone that we both know that didn't like the rangers, but
yeah, Loudon.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I've kind of named my top classes, and I can't really say that ranger would be at the top. Although in my second account, my main character is my ranger.
I love that ranger so much.
And she, yeah, I got her that Norn armor. Is it elite armor? I forgot. I don't know.
The Norn armor is.
Yeah, but anyway. So yeah, I love playing a ranger. I especially love pet classes, any pet class. So mm-hmm. I've always liked the ranger. So Aonani Ravenclaw, anyone who has listened to the old guildcasts might remember her. She has been a listener for a long, long, long time. And yay. She wrote in, and she's always
a ranger.
Yeah, she has always been kind of the cheerleader for rangers. Is that a good description? I don't know.
That works.
So she writes this, and it's funny because it breaks it down into why she thinks that they won't get rid of the ranger. Okay, it says, "Hey Sean, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Aonani Ravenclaw, ranger extraordinaire. I just listened to your last episode, and I have some thoughts on what I believe will happen to the ranger. Ever since Aenet made the warrior official and gave them the arcing shot skill, it made me really nervous as to whether or not my precious ranger class was going to come back. But here's what I think. Number one, I highly doubt they would remove a ranged class because so many people enjoy playing ranged classes and every MMO has one. And I believe merging the ranger and the warrior would make the warrior have way too much to choose from. They would have all the sword skills, hammer skills, axe skills, etc. on top of that and the bow skills. It seems a bit much to me. I think the arced arrow skill is just a little something extra, possibly to pull enemies or wound them before they get to you. Number two, in the Guild Wars 2 trailer, Air Stegenkill, the main Norn. Sorry, Air, if I pronounce that wrong. Don't slash me with your bear claws. Is who I believe to be a ranger class. She's wielding... Oh, it's a girl, and I just said guy. She's wielding a bow and has a pet wolf that follows her around. Ranger? I think so. Number three, Gale Grey loves rangers.
She has a point.
That's my favorite one. Number four, I think that if the original ranger doesn't return or come back, that sounds... Power Rangers, she says, that maybe they will make a Ranger Assassin class, a.k.a. a Rogue class, where you can wield a bow or use daggers for close-ranged combat, which reminds me of, dare I say, the Hunter class in LOTRO. I love the Hunter class. As to my thoughts on the other classes, number one, I've been speculating that a Necro Ritualist class might be one of the new classes that would make sense together, in my opinion. Actually, little side note here. Maybe that would be the summoner class that they...
That would be a good combination.
Yeah, that would be cool. And I think I could forgive... If they got rid of the Necro altogether and they made a summoner that was mixed with a ritualist, I could forgive them. I think so.
Yeah, I'm going to be sad if we lose the Necro, but I could get on board with a Necro writ.
Yeah. Okay, number two. I don't think the Dervish is coming back. In the weapons list, a Sith is not listed. Yes. I would not miss a Dervish. At all.
Oh, poor Derv. That's a class that I have never, ever played. Mostly because I stink at melee, but...
I've played a Dervish only long enough to trade items between it and my other characters. Because it's my mule.
Nice.
I don't know if I should even say this. The reason I made a Dervish, aside from being a mule...
No.
Is because I like the hair on one of the female dervishes. Like the hairstyle is a really, really cool hairstyle. Anyway,
I'm so glad you said hair.
Number three, as for the Paragon, I do not believe the Paragon as we know it will be coming back since there is no spear listed on the weapons list. I believe the Paragon will either be warped into the warrior class or aspects of it will be made into one of the new classes. I'm thinking maybe a buffer class. So here's what I'm speculating on the classes there will be. Number one, obviously the elementalist. Number two, and warrior. Number three, monk or a monk that can be that can use buffer-like skills similar to the paragon. Well, we know it's not going to be monk already, but a buffer class might be possible. Number four, ranger, assassin, rogue class, and possibly the ranger being able to use the pistols and rifles instead of a bow, like the hunter in World of Warcraft. Number five, a necro slash rituals class, or those two separate. Number six, mesmer. Number seven, paragon buffer class, which can use the warhorn, but not the paragon as we know the paragon to be. Number eight, and something else new, maybe a class that specializes in guns. I don't know.
I like her guesses. I'm on board with the necro writ. I'd be sad to see both of the Nightfall professions go.
Yeah.
Just that one campaign.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I think that... I think of the ones that will be cut, it'll definitely be ones from the newest, you know, either factions or Nightfall.
Yeah. We'll lose our core professions, besides Monk.
Yeah.
I can see that. Well, I'm voting... I'm going to put it out there and say Ranger is our next reveal.
Oh. So. I actually say Mesmer will be next. Just because I think that they've really kind of pushed it with... It's so obvious. And because they want to make me happy, right?
Well, they... Okay. Hey, when they put the Ellie out first, we all said that they did that to make me happy. So
yeah, exactly.
May as well go with it.
Exactly.
I don't know. Ranger, Mesmer seems logical for the next reveal, but I can't help thinking Ranger. I don't know why.
See, this is exactly why we need to make a contest out of it. It could be fun.
I agree.
We'll do that. We should.
Yeah, let's. We got to figure this out. Do we have to figure this out before Wednesday, though?
We have to figure this out right now.
All right. No. I'm looking on my desk. I have a pen, a library card. There's a bottle of nail polish. And some Post-its.
That would make a great prize pack.
All right.
Hey, I have a water bottle cap. Can I throw that in?
Perfect. All right, I think we're good. I'm like taking my phone off the desk so I don't have to say, oh, and there's a phone.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have an iPhone. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to hear that.
Does your iPhone even work?
Yes, I actually got it to work again. We had to travel 2 hours to get it to work. But
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Side note.
All right, so yeah, there's going to be a contest. We don't know what yet because I actually do like this nail polish and I don't want to give it up. But we'll figure out something.
Yeah, that would be cool. We'll figure something out. And maybe even by the show notes on this one. So if you're listening to it right now.
Check the show notes just in case we got it together that fast.
Yeah. Highly unlikely. But okay, so Anne Nani actually has a PS here. And she says, also, what are your guys' thoughts on the way combat seems to be working? Like, in the videos we've seen, it seems like you can take an enemy down pretty fast with just one to three hits. Well, we actually just addressed that, so that's solved. Personally, I'm really liking this. Looks like it's going to be good for playing by yourself, or if you're like me and enjoy wandering around exploring every corner of the map by yourself. It always annoys me in the games when it takes forever to kill enemies. Granted, I'm guessing the higher level enemies, like the dragons, won't be so easy.
Man, I hope not. That would suck to get all the way to the end of the game and be able to one-shot a dragon.
Yeah, and if that was possible, people would do it in 2 hours after the game was launched. So.
Ugh, I hate that. Don't ruin it for me. Stop making me feel like I have to keep up.
Yeah, so that has pretty much been addressed, so we know the answer to that. And they've said it's just pretty much for show. So.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I don't... Just, you know, show me what it can do. Don't make me watch a two-hour battle.
Yeah. let's see. Another one here is from, I think you pronounce this Derek, and he says, I know that they have officially announced the Elementalist and Warrior. I almost capitalized the classes, but I feared the wrath of the word geeks. he did not capitalize.
Don't mess with the word nerds.
Aside from those two classes, the only other potential classes that I've seen mentioned are the Necromancer in the Guild Wars 2 art book and the Ranger in an interview. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Are there any other unofficially or possibly accidental class references that I'm missing? I didn't know that they actually... I mean, did they reference... I don't have the... Actually, I used to have the Guild Wars 2 art book, but I had to give it away for a prize one time. Yeah, I had it right there.
I remember that, because I was like, why don't you mail it to me? I'll take care of it.
Yeah. See, but the thing is, you wouldn't do
that. You did not do that.
But I didn't know the Necromancer was mentioned... Or the Ranger was mentioned in an interview. That's pretty cool. I'd like to see that. What interview?
Yeah, I'm going to need that link. It's probably going to be one that I saw and just didn't even register.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Let's see what else. Okay, we have another email here. This one's from Lucas. And he says, "Hey, you two, your podcast is fantastic. I just wanted to tell you that. I have a couple thoughts to share about Guild Wars 2. I think they may be expanding bows into having uses for each class. We see the warrior using fire for massive destruction, which could simply be because of the warrior's connection to Balthasar. In Guild Wars 1, most professions will carry a bow, at the very least for pulling. It makes sense to offer classes unique uses for bows and guns rather than a dedicated ranged weapon class." I think, actually, breaking in here, I think that that's interesting because of the way that they've done with the healing. You know, they've taken out a specific healing class and they're giving healing available to each class. So who knows? Maybe they might actually do that. They might have a ranged like trait or a ranged skill that you can that each class can have, and each one will be different. That's interesting.
That's kind of a cool thought. I'm interested in following that a little bit.
Yeah. It goes on and says, "As far as speculation about the Ranger, I agree that it looks like we won't see the Ranger as we know it. One of the Adventurer Group's classes may likely be a Melandru-type class, though, which leads me to a question. Is there any word on pets and how they will be implemented? Pets have such strong aesthetic value, and I hope that they can be more effective in Guild Wars 2. In Guild Wars 1, any profession could have a pet if they really wanted to, of course, by having a Ranger secondary. Mm-hmm. But with no secondary professions in Guild Wars 2, will pets be linked to traits or anything other than class? What I really want to know is this. Will Acern characters be able to develop and maintain Golem pets? I'm always thinking how cool it would be if Mox could change primary. You know, just reprogram him and there you go. Mox changes colors with avatars is nifty. Mm-hmm. Changing colors with avatars is nifty, but I want more. Choosing melee defense ranged for the three golems in Destruction's Depths is fun too, unless you actually want to see anything else on the screen, that is.
Oh my gosh, that's so annoying.
It would be so cool to be able to customize a golem's appearance, combat style, skills, etc. I'll have to leave a comment when I get home from work and weigh in on the class speculation. Thanks for the podcast, Lucas. You know, he actually, just really quickly, I wanted to touch on something. He does bring up a great point here. The gods. You know, if you have, okay, main classes, the core classes are based on the gods. So I guess with the exception of the monk and Duena, I'm sure we'll have some kind of explanation for that, why the monk can be gone, you know, a representative of Duena. But you would think that the other ones would still be there just because of the gods.
You know, this brings to mind a very interesting point that I did not put together until just now. The five gods, they're not referring to the five gods anymore. In the War in Krytostef, some of the NPCs in the missions that you talk to will say, I've seen it twice now, they will say, I follow the six true gods, not these false gods of the White Mantle. Well, Cormyr is the sixth god. And Cormyr is a paragon.
Yeah. Wow.
But they say, and I just noticed it because they said six instead of five, and it caught my eye. I saw it again this weekend while I was doing the latest quest. They say the six true gods.
Hmm. So maybe Paragon is staying?
There is some food for speculation.
Yeah. Man, we could make this a six-hour show.
Oh my gosh, I know. There's just so much to talk about. But I do like the point he made. Golems can already be programmed to a point. You know, you can program them to fill your entire stinking screen in that Eye of the North mission. Mm-hmm. And you can change their avatars. So it makes sense that the technology would advance.
Yeah. And what if they make that, like a golem? Well, I guess the golems would probably be a Cern only. I'm not sure. But, yeah, what if they could do something like that for each of the, the different classes? Like there's or different races where they have their own type of pet. So that not only does everybody have a healing skill or possibly a ranged ability, but they also have the ability to have a pet. I think that's basically what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Now I'm thinking of, wouldn't it be a cool thing for the player base if you could commission an Asura player to make you a golem?
Yeah.
To make one for you. That's like whole thing in the in-game economy. But that's like another, we could go on forever about that too. But now I'm like, man, that would be cool, though, if you had a friend that played an Asura and you could get them to build you a golem.
Yeah, that would be, that would add so much to, like, crafting, you know,
exactly.
That it would give it such a purpose, because then people would actually want to play Asura. No, I'm just kidding. actually, I want to play one because I love that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. I think to get that balance, like, have reasons why people would want to play each class, and then you have to either decide which one you want to play or just be like me and make one of everything.
Exactly. Man, we're going to need like a billion character slots.
Okay, let's, this next one. This is from Cody, and he says, Hi, Sean and Ruby. While listening to your recent Guildcast, I recall hearing about websites recreating or creating guilds for Guild Wars 2. This is something we mentioned would be pretty cool. I'd just like to let you know about a new website called gw2fans.com, which is a great place to post on forums and advertise guilds. It also has a fantastic news section, which always includes an embedded Guildcast player. Oh, nice. Check it out. It's worth a look, but remember, it's still in development. I imagine Cody made this website. Just a guess. On another note, I have a question. The races are meant to equalize out. Picking one race is meant to be just as balanced as picking another. How can a Norn warrior be equal to an Asura warrior, or a Norn mesmer be equal to an Asuran mesmer? It does seem a little strange, even for a fantasy game, for their strengths to be equal, given that the lore states otherwise. I think you're doing a great job. Listening to your guildcast makes my day. Thanks, guys. Cody. And a P.S. I made sure I checked my spelling, remembering your comment about resumes.
Thank you, Cody.
Good
and
job.
I actually, Cody CC'd me on this one, so this is one that I got to see, too. So extra thank you for that. But I'm kind of looking at the site, and it's actually pretty well done.
Yeah, GuildWars2Fans.com.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who has a little built-in player for Guildcast. I mean,
it's good in my book.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, this is a really good website. And again, like we mentioned before, how we would love to see more of kind of a community hub for fan sites, things like that. Not only podcasts. I mean, we talked about Relics of War last time, which is Ryan's and Lady Sinea actually is on there too. Is I think she's the official co-host now of that podcast. So
ooh,
that's
awesome.
Cool. So I think that having that type of thing, like a hub, not only for that, but also like he's talking about here for guilds. Getting guilds set up before Guild Wars 2 comes out. Very, very important stuff. The community is everything in an MMO. So definitely check this site out and at least see, kind of see what it's all about. See if it fits into something you might like.
Yeah, we'll have to put that in the show notes too because it was a good site. He did a good job.
Hopefully, we remember all these for the show.
You should. You know what you should do? You should totally like record this so we could listen back and.
Hey, yeah, should do. Oh wait.
I should have been making notes. Now I'm going, crap, why didn't I write all this down?
let's see. So we got a quick email here from N-Type. And N-Type, again, is another listener from the old days.
Okay.
And I say the old days, way, way back in like 2005.
2005.
Yeah.
But I was sitting here going, that sounds N-Type. N-Type, that sounds familiar. Okay, that's why.
Yeah, he was on the forums. And he says, he just writes briefly, but he says how we were talking about how there were Guildcast listeners who were in middle school then and are in college now. He says he's actually in that category. So it proves my point that we are old. Oh, wait, that wasn't my point.
It holds true, though. You have a point.
Actually, and then I got a few emails because I said something on our Twitter, and I've been forgetting to say it every time we record an episode, that I lost – okay, let me explain this. I lost all of the – old episodes of Guildcast. I know, it's horrible. I had a hard drive crash a couple of years ago, and at the time I was like, I do not want to deal with that. Like, that is, like, wow, that sucks. And I just didn't, I kind of said, I'm sure there are listeners out there who have everything, and I'll just wait, and if I ever need them, then I'll ask them, ask somebody. Right. So I meant to say in the last two episodes, begging for people to look through their iPods or their, their hard drives and see if they have any. Well, I actually said it on Twitter, even though I forgot it on the show, but I said it on Twitter and I got a lot of responses. Quite a few people had every single episode. And then there were actually a lot of people who had, like select episodes, and every single person had episode 63.
Yay.
For anyone who doesn't know, 63 was the first time I ever cursed on the podcast.
Well, but that's not why it was cool.
No, but it was like, what was it called? Like, how not to suck?
How not to suck. It was like the top 10 ways not to suck at Guild Wars. It's absolutely my favorite Guildcast episode ever.
Yeah, and it was just
I love it so much.
Me, like, being...
Just ranting.
Just a complete rant. But people loved it. Like, and it was funny because I got a lot of people who emailed me and they're like, that was really funny. Just don't do it again because I like to listen with my kids in the car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, but you warned them at the beginning.
Yeah, I did. I really did. Yeah. It's funny to know that one has survived so much. You know, they saved that one.
Well, and you know what? I think I told you this the other day. We were talking about this in my Guild Wars guild on my main account the other night. There's someone in the guild that we know from way back when, and I was saying that we were looking for those episodes, and I said, I especially want episode 63. And like two or three other people in the guild that were on at the time, I didn't even know they were listeners, were all like, oh my gosh, I love 63. I didn't even know you listened to Guildcast.
That is awesome.
That is so cool. But yeah, 63 has got to be the first one that we put back.
Yeah. And actually, I tried that again later, but I beeped it out. Like, I think it was like, the topic was a little bit not as funny. It was like the top five things that ArenaNet screwed up on Guild Wars or something like that. And nobody really liked that one. Like, no, nobody. Like, people were like, okay, 63 is cool, but you're kind of pushing it now. Yeah.
Well, but 63, I mean, it's stuff that we've all been through.
Yeah.
Everything you said, we're all going, yeah, oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. I think I listened to it, actually, once I started getting these, people started sending them back to me, and I listened to it. It was just, like, last weekend. And one of the things, I kind of skipped ahead to see what I was saying on there, because I completely forgot. But one of the things I said on there was, nobody cares about what weapons you're wielding. Like, don't keep saying, you know, I'm wielding this, because no one cares. Like, everyone else has those weapons too, so, you know, shut up.
Actually, you know what, and I'll make this a really quick story. It's a good story, so okay. you'll live with it. Back when everybody, there were assassins running, there was just a dungeon in Eye of the North that assassins were running, and of course the name escapes me right now, but he would run from Umbral Grotto to this dungeon, and everybody else would just kind of hang around at the exit and wait because there was nothing to do while the assassin was running. And someone that I know was in a group, and, you know, just some idiot was doing all that. He's getting out all his mini pets and showing off his armor, and he started throwing his weapons on the ground. You know, throw it on the ground and pick it up before anybody, just to show it off, you know, oh, drop this, drop that. So he threw, and I want to say it was a tormented weapon. He threw it on the ground, the assassin zoned.
Oh, that is hilarious.
And it was either a tormented weapon or it was a very, very rare green that was still worth a lot of money at the time. And, I mean, you know, the assassin couldn't – he's just doing his thing. He's not paying any attention. He didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
But the entire group was like, dude, it serves you right because you were ticking us off.
Seriously. That is hilarious. That is karma right there.
That is – yeah, that was beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why you don't do that either.
Yes.
Idiot.
Yes. So anyway, my point was that I actually have all the episodes now. Like, I don't have them all on my hard drive yet, but I have people saying that they have every episode. I've had a few, actually at the beginning I was able to download a lot, and then now people are saying they have every single episode. So I'm going to contact the people I've talked to already, get every single episode, upload it to our feed, somewhere on the site, and it will be in the feed. It will be on our iTunes, so you can listen to those. And that'll be really cool. I'm really excited about that because it's something that a lot of people have been asking for years now. You know, I mean, I lost this years ago, and people have been asking for the archive versions. So we'll have that up. I'm not sure exactly. I say it'll be in the feed. I'm not sure exactly if I can do that without messing up the current feed. So I might put it on the old feed. And once I do that, you know, of course I'll get everything settled and let people know. But that actually might be a better – now that I think about it, it might actually be a better solution is to put it on the old feed.
Kind of keep them separate so they don't interfere with one another.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of skipping through all of those emails, I did have a couple more really quick emails. There's one another one reiterating the fact that click-to-move will be removed from the game. This is, again, something that you know, we talked about. But they say they add this quote. It says, the control system is going to be changed. In particular, mouse movement in the form of click-to-move will be removed from the game. That was something that was in PC Gamer in that May 2007 episode. And,
oh, wow.
My favorite part of this email, as quirky as I am, at the end it says, sincerely, Asia, and it's A-S-Y-A, and then they put in parentheses, pronounced Asia like the continent or the band. anyone who remembers Asia the band, like, you get so many points from me.
Yeah, I love you.
That is so awesome. I used to have an Asia album when I was like 8.
I'm like going to YouTube now.
That was incredible. So yeah, big props on that.
Definitely.
I think, let me see, I'm kind of going through. Oh, we have one more email on that doesn't have to do with the old episodes, because I actually got a lot of email on that. This is from Nicholas. He says, hello, I'm really into setting up my Guild Wars characters in ways that make sense to me. I would like to quickly share my plans for two of my Guild Wars characters. Char Warrior of the Vigil, male. A big brute of a beast who excels in fighting, lives to fight, and will die of old age while fighting. And then a Savari Elementalist of the Order of Whispers, and that will be a female. It says, a mysterious girl in tune with the elements and nature. She prefers to destroy your existence before you get to melee range. And the reason I wanted to read this, I like these two character plans, what Nicholas wants to do with his characters. So what I want to do for this week, because last week was so successful in asking people to comment about the class thing, I want people to comment on this episode and kind of tell us about your own plans, what you want to do with race, class, and order combinations, to kind of let us know what your plans are with that. Like if you're going to role play these, if you're getting into the backstory, or if it's just something kind of more strategic, just let us know in the comments. I think that could be a pretty interesting discussion that we could talk about on next show.
I would love to hear that.
So you can
kind of a play on what race are you going to play first, but more detailed.
Yeah, yeah, I think it could be a lot of fun. And that, along with hopefully some kind of contest to guess the next class reveal, those will both be in. At least the one will be in this week's thing. Yeah. I just have to find some kind of prize or something for to give away for that. Maybe it'll be like an Amazon gift card or something like that. I think that would be kind of cool.
Amazon gift card would be nice.
Yeah. Well, that's actually all we have from the email this week and from the news. We had a lot to talk about, even though there wasn't too much news. You know, no new class reveal or anything like that.
But there will be. Oh, yes.
Yes. Mesmer.
But thank you guys for writing in. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So much feedback.
Yeah, definitely. And I encourage anyone to keep writing in. If you want us to read it on the show, I think the best thing would probably be to email instead of leaving it as a comment, because I do read all the comments because I have to approve them, but we usually go through the emails to read them on the show. But that, of course, is either Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. You can check out our website at guildcast.wordpress.com or also guildcast.libsyn.com, which is kind of a not often used version of this.
Pretty much the same thing.
Still there. Yeah, that's where the feed is, so that's why I have that set up. But the WordPress is much better at using things like add-ons and things like that. That's why I use that as the main site. But in case you want to know that. But yeah.
I was wondering.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. It's Guildcast, Twitter/Guildcast. And then there's our Facebook page.
We have
slowly but surely we're building up kind of another listener base. And it's really, what I think is cool is we're seeing a lot of old faces.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Facebook back in the old days, so we didn't know what a lot of the fans looked like or what they acted like or, get to know them a little bit more, which is good or bad thing sometimes. So it's cool to be able to see people and kind of get to know them a little bit more than just names on a forum. And we always want to, the Guildcast community was a really strong community before. We had a lot of guilds that were built around the podcast and a lot of people who made friendships that have continued on other games because of the podcast. I mean, there's Lady Sinéa got married, you know, because of the podcast. I mean, that's an important.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something that blows my mind. Cal Agram, who was he did a segment for us for a while. They're actually married now. It's crazy. And I say that because I've actually married someone from the internet as well. So, so it's one of those things. So where was I going with this? I have completely lost
it. I don't know, but it's cool that they're married. So Facebook. Yeah.
Facebook, yes.
Please be our Facebook friend.
Yes, Facebook. Even if you hate Facebook.
Be our Facebook friend anyway.
Yeah, just join it just to be our friend because, no, don't do that. So until next time, we're actually going to record probably an episode pretty soon, possibly Friday or Saturday. So You'll be hearing us again very soon.
Get us caught up.
Yeah. So until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then. All right.
Awesome. Okay, let's do it.
That's what she said.
Now stop. I'm trying to be serious. So we didn't get anything enormous.
That's what she said.